Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What calendar software do I use? What are my note-taking tips? And how can you best create a meeting agenda? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here, and I'm going to answer those listener questions and more in just a minute. But first, welcome to the weekly wrap-up. This is where we get to take our time, I get to rant a little, and we even get to change up the format. And today, I'm actually broadcasting this recording session on live video on Facebook. This is an experiment. You know, I'm trying to see how we can engage the audience more, how we can reach more people. And so if I can provide Q&A through Facebook, use that content on the podcast, I'm going to try to do that to get more bang for my buck, more out of every minute of the day. So if you want to interact with me and in the future or watch these live broadcasts, you don't want to wait for them to come out on the Friday show, then go on to Facebook. And today I'm broadcasting on my personal author page, which is on Facebook at Cruz Author, K-R-U-S-E Author. But we will also be broadcasting in the future from the LeadX page on Facebook, which is just LeadX Life, L-I-F-E. So go on to Facebook afterwards and follow both places. All right, big thanks. Just found out that we did our 100th episode with Captain Sully Sullenberger last Friday, which is very cool. Great to have him on the show. And that was the week where we're now on pace to get 100,000 downloads for the podcast each month. That's a big milestone. So I'm doing my part. I'm trying to do my part by bringing you good guests, great guests every single day. But I know we've hit those numbers because you're telling people, you're spreading the word. You can have a great product. You can have a great service. You can have a great brand. But it doesn't go on its own. You need people to spread the word. So big thank you for all that growth. And I hope you'll keep it up. If you're at work, I hope you'll scrawl on your whiteboard in your office or in your conference room, the LeadX Show is the smartest way to start your day. Of course, no one's going to know what you're talking about, but that's a great conversation starter when they walk into your office, when they come and do the old, got a minute? Well, you can say, sure, but before you hit me with your, you know, it's not going to be more, it'll certainly be more than a minute. You can say, did you know that the LeadX Show is the smartest way to start your day? And I always say, they're going to have no idea how to listen to a podcast. So you just want to grab their phone. Look, if it's an iPhone, look for that little purple podcast icon and you can subscribe to the show for them. All right. Now, today I'm going to do my random thoughts, my random rant. I'm going to keep it really short because we have so many questions that have come in from listeners, primarily productivity related questions. So my rant today is the movie Spider-Man Homecoming. Awesome. One of the better superhero movies that have been done, and certainly better than some of those other big name superhero movies of this summer. Game of Thrones. Who thought Ed Sheeran was a good idea? That's my comment on that one. Watch the documentary, finally, Becoming Warren Buffett. Of course, Warren Buffett, legendary investor, one of the richest people on the planet. My main comment is, who knew he had sister wives? That was weird. If you know what I'm talking about, watch the documentary Becoming Warren Buffett. And another interesting takeaway was they talked about how Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, they're like best friends. They really are good friends. There's an age difference there, but I guess when you're the number one and number two or one, two or three richest people, you have a lot in common. So anyway, Bill Gates Sr., the father who's friends also with both of them, he did this little experiment with them. He said, take out a piece of paper and I want you to think of one word. What is the number one key to your success? What would be the one word that Bill Gates would pick? What would be the one word that Warren Buffett would pick? And it turns out they picked the same word. And that word is focus. And that certainly was, a lot of people wonder why my first business back when I was like 21, you know, went out of business. Lack of focus was a big part of it. And it's something that I think all entrepreneurs struggle with. I still struggle with it. I mean, I'm, you know, writing a book and doing a daily podcast and launching a big company and all the rest. But they say their secret is focus. Another cool thing I read this week, the Girl Scouts. They now have new badges, 23 new badges in science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM fields. First graders now have a curriculum on building robots. And next year, they're even adding cybersecurity courses for the Girl Scouts. And it's a good thing these Girl Scouts are learning about robots because, you know, I'm on my robot kick. Robot purchases were up 10% year over year. The Amazon robot inventory, their robot workforce, increased by 50% just since last year. They now have 45,000 robots roaming around the Amazon factories. And apparently we're going to have 135 billion robots in the world by the year 2019. Now, there's some good news. Amazon announced that next week they're doing this massive job fair where people just show up and they're going to give them an offer on the spot. They're looking to hire 50,000 workers for their dozen or so distribution centers around around the United States. Giant job fair next week. And then in health news, I feel like I'm a news reporter. And now in health, but this caught my eye. Fat matters. I'm not talking about body shaming. I want you to love yourself no matter what. But data is data. A Harvard study published in the Journal of American Medicine, or JAMA, for every 11 pounds more that you weigh now than when you were a young adult, you're increasing your risk of dying prematurely by 5%. So specifically, for every 11 pounds, if you're a woman, for every 11 pounds more that you weigh since you were 18 years old, and for men, it's every 11 pounds more since we were 21 years old, we have a 6% increased risk of cancer, 8% increased risk of cardiovascular disease, 30% increased risk of type 2 diabetes, and a 5% greater chance of dying prematurely. I'm probably... should I admit it? I think I'm 20 pounds heavier than when I was 21 years old, but I was a skinny stick back then. So I don't know if this apply. I hope it doesn't apply to me, but it might. Fat matters. All right, before I get to the Q&A, it's time for the iTunes review shout out of the week. It is from Wendy Breakstone. Wendy wrote, "The quality of the podcast is stellar. Kevin's interview and advice style is thoughtful and thought-provoking. Add this show to your My Podcast subscriptions. It's a winner." Wendy, thank you for writing that review. Leaving a review on iTunes is the single best way we can reach a bigger audience, build the tribe, and help more people. Wendy, shoot me a note, kevin@leadx.org, because I want to send you some swag. I'll send you a LeadX t-shirt to thank you for that review. And everyone else, if you haven't done it already, it only takes a minute. Go on up to iTunes, search up the show, hit subscribe. That's the most important part. Hit subscribe and then leave a quick review. Now look, whether you've left a review or not, I also want to let you know everybody can go download the new ebook I wrote. It's called Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership. It's at leadx.org/Branson. And I'm going to see if I can actually update. I'm going to try to play with this Facebook Live, but it's not going to let me put that URL up. I'll have to figure out that functionality later, I guess. Okay, so let's go to the reader questions, the questions of the week. I got a bunch related to productivity. Feel free. You can ask me anything. How to write a book, entrepreneurship, leadership, whatever you want. These were a batch of productivity related questions. So I got a question from Max Gritchen. "I noticed that successful people wake up early in the morning, but it means I need to go to bed early every evening. I'm living in Moscow, Russia, and I find it very difficult to go to sleep before midnight. Can you give me any advice? What should I do to wake up early morning each day to be more productive? I'm a remote programmer who works from a home office, and I need to help my wife with my little son who's 1.5 years old. I found that I have free time only when the baby goes to sleep after 9 p.m. Who said anything about free time, Max? Come on, you're a step ahead of most of us. Okay, so Max, thank you for that question. Really quickly, when you've got young kids, it's hard. So I'm a single dad of 3 kids. They're now teens. But I say kids are the best thing in life, but also the hardest thing. And when my kids were that age, those were some dark years for me. Not very productive and just hard, you know, emotionally, lack of sleep and all that. So be gentle with yourself, support your family, support your wife. Don't push yourself too hard. It will get easier. So that's the first comment. Second is, if you can't get enough quantity of sleep, like 8 hours a night is ideal. Very few of us can find a way to get 8 hours. Focus on quality of sleep. So if you're going to bed at midnight, maybe you can get 6 hours of sleep. And while a lot of people say that's not enough, and I agree, try to get 7 or 8. Most people in their 8 hours, they're tossing and turning and they're waking up and they don't even remember because you don't come fully conscious. So your sleep cycles are spiked. You're not in deep sleep. So if you're only going to get 6 hours or 5 or 4, focus on quality sleep. So that's your environment. Make sure the temperature is right. Make sure the room is dark. Make sure it's quiet. Make sure you don't have any, you know, dogs or cats waking you up. Make sure your sleep partner knows not to watch TV in bed, all those kinds of things. But the bigger point, Max, it's true. In all the people that that I interviewed, most of them were waking up like at 6 a.m., 5 a.m. And they were going to bed at 9 or 10. It's not so much about the hour that you get up. It's, can you get up 1 hour earlier than your boss, than your spouse, than your children? So, and then use that hour to invest in yourself. You know, people call it their hour of power, their non-negotiable 60 minutes. And everybody's routine is a little different, but this is the time to work on your body and your mind. So, you know, people will generally, you know, do yoga or stretching or walk around the block, guzzling water. You know, it's called an inner bath. Eat a healthy meal. You don't want to be skipping breakfast. For your mind, meditate or pray, read, write, journal. Most highly successful people I know, their first 60 minutes of every single day is the same. And the only way they're able to do that is by kind of starting the day before everybody else gets up. So hopefully that's a little bit helpful, Max. And let's see, we've got one from Mike. Kevin talked about how he marks tasks with boxes and other items in different ways in his daily journal. I remember liking it, but did not take action right then and there. Mike. Okay, so Mike, yes. I'm a big believer in always carrying a notebook. It's a Richard Branson secret. It's, you know, one of the superpowers for productivity. And I take notes on everything, every phone call, every meeting, every interview, every book I read. It all goes into the book. Now, when I'm in meetings, now this isn't like anybody else's system, do what you want for yourself. But when I'm in meetings, I have these little annotations so I can go back. And I'm going to show this to the Facebook Live audience. Boy, how am I going to back this up? This is where video is helpful. And basically, as I'm taking notes, I just put little dashes to mark, you know, a separate thought. If it's a super important point, then I'll put a little asterisk next to it. I use an exclamation mark, so I can scan it and say, oh, I'm supposed to take action immediately on that item. I put a question mark next to something I want to ask, like the presenter about. So all the time, you know, people are presenting, I've got questions, I don't want to interrupt them, or it's not Q&A time. So I'll jot it in my notebook and put a question mark next to it. I use a circle to indicate there's an event I need to put onto my calendar. And then I use the square to mark a task or a to-do. And of course, the big thing is I'm jotting down these new task items in the notebook throughout the day, but I don't leave them there. I don't use a to-do list. At the end of the day, I schedule those into my calendar. Everything I need to do, I find a day, a time, and a place, and I move them into my calendar. All right, thanks, Mike, for that question. Now, Marcelo Reda. All right, Marcelo. He says, your notebook. Is it just random notes or do you have separate categories, business ideas, improvements on operations? I'm struggling on starting as I'm very organized and feel I should have a notebook for each subject. You can have endless categories. All right. Again, whatever works for you works for you. For myself, I just use one book because to me, I don't have work and life and hobbies. I just have life. It's all life to me. And so my life is recorded, you know, almost journal style day to day in these notebooks. So it's just chronological order. and I record everything, you know, as I mentioned, you know, that's happening. Now, having said that though, I manage big projects like work projects, either on an online project management system, like we use Basecamp at LeadX, love Basecamp. Or I have done separate pages. Sometimes it's a page in the back of the notebook so I can just flip to it very quickly. But more often than not, it's like a giant piece of poster paper that I, you know, tack up on the wall that has all the project steps. So it's not a to-do list in that I'm not working from that list day to day. It's like this all has to get done on the project in the next 6 months or something. But if I want to keep certain things, I just write it in the back of my book. And that way I'll just go to the back and flip and I can find it easily. But I don't separate the book in any ways. This does remind me, I was talking to Tom Ziegler, who's the son of Zig Ziegler, motivational, you know, legendary motivational speaker who has passed away. And, you know, Tom challenged me. He said, you know, Kevin, you're using your notebook to just write down what you want to remember for business and things like that. And I write, I'm really sloppy. I don't know if people can see anything online, you know, really sloppy. Nobody can read it. And he said, you need to think about your notebooks as a legacy for your children. He's like, wouldn't you love to have a bookshelf filled with notebooks that your parents filled out through their lifetime? And you could go back and know what they were doing on different years and dates, what they thought about, you know, different things, the books that they were reading. Now, I haven't done a good job of adopting that, but I think it's great advice and we should all think about that, you know, notebooks as leaving legacies. Okay. Marcella had a second question. How do we effectively create an agenda for a meeting? Bullet points with the subject, bullet points and a short preview. I personally feel the more information people have prior to the meeting, the better. However, it doesn't seem to work. Maybe no agenda at all. Marcello. Well, if you want to master your meetings, and meetings in general are big time wasters, they're big time sucks. You know, the fewer meetings, the better. But well-run meetings, and they have to be proactively run, facilitated, you know, those can work wonders. I believe you should always send out an agenda, but it does need to be brief. What's the topic? Who else is invited? That's an important part. Obviously, date and time. Duration. Is it a 1 hour meeting, 30 minutes, etc.? You got to stick to that. And then I like bullet points, short bullet points around the agenda topics. Whenever possible, frame them as a question to be answered so that people know we're not just getting in a room to eat donuts and chit chat and then leave and nothing changes. Like, what are we trying to decide? What are we trying to come up with? Now, not all meetings are for that purpose. Sometimes they're informational. Sometimes they could be, you know, brainstorm, but even that would be, you know, the goal would be to leave the room with three new ideas on how to solve this problem. I think if all you're doing is sharing information, like routine, hey, here's an update on this project or whatever, do it through software, do it through an email, do it through a project tracking system. You know, everybody getting together and listening to each other give updates doesn't work very well, because while you're giving me your update, I'm thinking about something funny I watched on TV, or I'm thinking about what I'm going to say when it gets to my turn. I'm not thinking about what you said. So it's just a big waste of time. Now, I have also found people are so busy, they do not read information ahead of time. I like to attach it separate from the agenda. So the agenda is short. Maybe it's even in the body of the email. Attach documents for those who earn a gold star and read and prepare. Most people won't do it. Jeff Bezos of Amazon has this weird practice where everybody gets in the room, he hands out the reading material, and he says, okay, you know, for the next 20 minutes, we're all going to read. And all the executives just sit there reading because he doesn't think they'll read it ahead of time. They won't. So he forces them to read it. He allocates some of the meeting time to read, and then everybody has a discussion. Sounds a little crazy to me, so I don't do that, but he has a point. I should have put this in the rant. Jeff Bezos, speaking of the devil, as of today, he is the richest man on the planet. He just beat out Bill Gates because Amazon just got a nice bump in their stock price. The last time someone beat Bill Gates out to be the richest person on the planet, it only lasted a couple of days. So it's all about Amazon stock price versus Microsoft stock price. And Berkshire Hathaway and everybody else. It's all about the stock market. Anyway, so let's do another question. How much time we going? So we just hit the 20-minute mark. This is from Maggie. Maggie says, my daughter and I have read your book and are using a lot of the time management tips you've given us. I still can't figure out if we should use our Gmail calendar or a written planner. My daughter's 20 years old. She's learning how to manage her time, use a calendar, plan her day. She has a planner, but I'm not sure if we should switch over to using electronic. What do you suggest and why? Okay, the first big point is, again, there's no one right tool. And in fact, far more important than the right tool or having any tool at all is your mindset, your psychology towards time and productivity. Tools don't matter much. That's why I don't really talk about, oh, the best apps for productivity or do this. I answer the questions when I'm asked, but I don't use a lot of fancy tools and I don't think people need to worry about them much. In this case, I use Google Calendar, not any other fancy calendar app. I just use Google Calendar. Why do I use Google Calendar? It's on my phone, it's on my desktop, it's easily synced. I like the pop-up alerts and things that a paper calendar can't do. I like it that I can take a Gmail message and convert it into a calendar event. So that's how I get to inbox zero. If you've hit me with something like read this report, and I know it's going to take me 15 minutes, I turn that into a calendar event. I find a 15-minute slot of time and it goes onto the calendar and then drops out of my inbox. So I like that feature. The other thing is, if you are going to live from your calendar instead of a to-do list, you will be sloshing things around, meaning at the end of every day, there's usually one thing, maybe two things that I thought I was going to get to in the day that I didn't get to. And I need to slide them. I can easily slide them in Google Calendar into tomorrow, open slot for tomorrow or next week, whatever I want to do with it. With a paper notebook, if you're juggling a lot of things, it's a lot of writing and rewriting or erasing or whatever. I got a paper planner for my daughter, Amanda, who's off to college, and she loves it. And I think it's really working for her. I think it just depends how many tasks are you juggling versus how many events and how much rewriting would you need? Again, no one right answer. And then let's see here. I've got a question from Daniel. How do you handle 5-minute tasks that you may need to do in the future? Do you block 5 minutes on your calendar? Something that cannot be done today. And I asked him a follow-up, like, well, what do you mean? And he said, a lot of his examples were, I've given something, I've assigned something for someone to do, and I need to remember to ask if they did it, like follow up, did they actually do it? So normally people would put that like on a to-do list, ask Daniel if he did this thing. And then you just keep looking at it. And a week from now, I'd say, hey, Daniel, did you do the task? So he's saying, how do you do that if you don't have a task list? So what I do, I have a lot of those. While I don't have to-do lists for myself, I do have to-do lists for other people. So I don't live from them. I don't look at them. But most of my team members, there's 5, 10, 15 things that they are going to be working on. Some are tomorrow and others are going to take a month. And because I want to follow up and remember what those are, I have a separate list. Now, again, I use Basecamp. So we create these task lists in projects or assigned to people. Now, the other key part of this, though, is that every Monday I do a one-on-one check-in with each of my direct reports. So on my calendar, it's like Kevin and Daniel one-on-one and it's 15 minutes. And then when we Skype together or sit down, I open up Basecamp, I go to your work list, and I'll remember to follow up on all those items. Now, before I used Basecamp, I would use an Excel spreadsheet or Google Sheets, and every person was a different tab on the worksheet. So I didn't have a tab for myself. I didn't reference this throughout the week, but when I was having a one-on-one meeting, then I would open up the spreadsheet, go to that person's tab, and remember to follow up on all of those items. An even easier way you could do it is, again, if you've got that one-on-one meeting scheduled, mine are always on Mondays, Mondays are for meetings, then when you open the calendar electronically, you would see that I could just have all these little items, task one, task two, task three, and I would just say, Jackie, did you get a chance to do this? Jackie, did you get a chance to do that? So that's how I do it. It's a combination of scheduling recurring meetings and then putting the other people's task lists somewhere else. If you don't like the idea of meeting with everybody, one-on-one, you could always just put a recurring time block on your calendar, like follow-ups. So every Monday for an hour is follow-ups. And in that appointment, you track all those little to-dos that you're going to be, you know, needing to do. It's just your catch-up time. So that'd be another way to handle it. Okay. And a follow-up question from Daniel. I love your idea of scheduling rather than task lists. The issue I'm running into is a to-do list fails safe. So if you don't do it, it's still there on the to-do list. And if you don't do something on your calendar, that day is gone and you might miss the item. So what I do, it's such a habit, I don't even think about it. At the end of every day, I'm looking at my day and the things I didn't do, I'm just sliding into an open slot tomorrow or next week or whatever it is. And it's just sort of out of a habit. On Sunday night, as I'm planning my week, I sort of scan the whole previous week, and every now and then I'll catch something that I missed and I'll move it over and I'll reschedule it. So that is it from the questions from listeners. So here's the teasers for next week. All right, this is crazy. If you're not already listening to the LeadX show daily, you really have to. And I'm moving a little bit more away from the book authors. They're experts. We're not going to ignore them all, but I'm trying to get a wider variety of guests, including entrepreneurs, small business CEOs, top TED Talk presenters. I've got an NFL, former NFL player, big star, who now owns restaurants. We're going to be talking to him. But next week, I've got John Gordon. Many of you probably know John Gordon, author of The Energy Bus, one of the most successful author speaker guys around. And he sort of started a little bit later. And I talked about his career and then also about, you know, his new book. We've got Maura Thomas scolds me. I get yelled at because, you know, I tell my team members, you don't have to check email at night and the weekend. You certainly don't have to respond to my emails, but I'm going to send you emails because it's on my mind. I want to get it off my mind. Maura tells me why this is a horrible idea and I'm a horrible boss. So you got to listen into that one. And then I talked to Dr. Michael Bruce, The Power of When. The best time, where he talks about the best time to ask your boss for a raise and even the best time to have sex. And it's a good thing he's a doctor because he starts to get a little explicit. So on that note, you've got to be listening next week. Don't forget, you can get my new ebook. I spent hours and hours. I hired a graphic designer to make this beautiful design. Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership at leadx.org/Branson. And final takeaway message for the podcast listeners. Until next week, enjoy the weekend. And remember, leadership is influence. We are leaders at home just as we are at work.